Let us pray. O God, open our minds and hearts that we may hear a word from you today. And may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We have a story of a widow who is displeased. She's upset. She is not pleased at all with what's going on around her, and she's going to do something about it. We have to confess that there's a lot of things going on in our world that we're a bit displeased about, that we're disgruntled about, that we wonder if there's any solution to these issues. Oh, just to name a few, it might be that children have adequate money to be educated in our systems, that everyone have health care, that the abused are taken care of. We have things to be disgruntled about as a people, and we all have our own things we're upset about on our own. Excuse me. I was listening to the radio and read the paper, and there was a lot of people, not everyone, but a lot of people who were disgruntled about last Sunday's Cowboy game. Now, the Bronco fans were very happy, and I found that out this morning after service when I talked about the Cowboys. But those in the room who were our Cowboy fans were disappointed and disgruntled about this outcome. And as I began to look on social media and listen to the ticket, I found out that most of the blame had been put on the quarterback. Now, it wasn't all his fault, but he is the most important player, and he has been our new hope for great seasons, for the possibility of a Super Bowl. And all of a sudden, there was talk about, oh no, he's not who we thought he was. Maybe we ought to trade him now. And began to talk about what he needed to do to improve. And I can tell you that whatever was said, none of that is going to help him play tomorrow night and see if he's any better. What's going to make him better for tomorrow night is if he looks at the tapes, practice, 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 takes actions to do something to correct the things that weren't quite right last week. That is what will make the game different tomorrow night. We'll have to wait and see if it turns out that way or not. We can all hope that our Cowboy fans, not everybody's a Cowboy fan, but many of us are. The widow that we have in the story, she is disgruntled, not like we maybe were about the Cowboys, but she's disgruntled. And she has a beef that is far more weighty than anything we might have about a cowboy lose. Because she is facing a judge who does not fear humankind and does not fear God. We might call that person pretty despicable, and how are you ever going to be able to work with someone like that? And she's a woman alone. In the first century, being a woman alone was very tragic. You were vulnerable to all kinds of things happening to you. Physical advantages might be taking place because you're alone in the world. You are obviously vulnerable for finances because you're dependent on someone else. And people have a tendency to take advantage of the weak and the underprivileged in that day, as they still do today. She was probably up against a very wealthy opponent. We don't know what the complaint was, but we know what she wants. She wants justice. She knows that that is what she wants, and she's not going to stand for what is happening to her at this moment. She wants the justice. Despite of her being in a weak position, she will gain her justice because she perseveres, because she doesn't give up, because she takes action. She perseveres. Now, Luke likes to talk a lot about being the people of God and persevering. That is a theme that if you pull the thread through a lot of Luke's gospel, you will see that perseverance is a key part to what he has to say to us. Usually he talks to us through Jesus' parables because it seems that that's the way Jesus told the story to Luke. But if I go back a few chapters, just back to the 11th chapter, there's another story where Jesus is telling a parable to his followers about persistence. I want to read it to you. Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of your friends comes to you at midnight and says to you, 'Lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine just arrived and I have nothing to feed him.' And he will answer from inside of the house, 'Do not bother me. The door's already locked and my children are in bed with me. I cannot get up and give you anything.' And then Jesus says, 'I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he's a friend, at least because he is persistent, he will get up and give him what he needs.'" That story of persistence in praying, calling on the Holy Spirit to get justice in the world, to get your needs met, is the theme that's going throughout this gospel. But here in this particular text, that's a few chapters after that one, there is more to being persistent than just calling on the Holy Spirit. That's important. Don't ever think that Jesus isn't saying that. Calling on the Holy Spirit through prayer and persevering in prayer is important. But now Jesus is saying, there's another step. You, the people of God, there is another step for you to go. And that is to put your prayer in action. Don't stop with just being in your closet praying, but now put your prayer in action. So this parable is about persistence in prayer and action on behalf of God's judgment. And then he says, if God will vindicate, if the unjust judge will vindicate for a person, how much more will our God and Savior vindicate for us who are calling on the Holy Spirit and who are putting our prayers in action? But the question is, will the people who faithfully pray continue to advocate for those who need justice until the kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven? Until the second coming of Christ, will we, the people called the people of God, continue to advocate for justice and persevere in our advocating and keep our action going until the second coming of Christ? That's the question for us this morning. What if we decided to apply the same principles to advocating, having action for justice, as we would if we were filing a complaint against some product or some consumer? I think this will work for us because 2 weeks ago, our granddaughter came home from Portland for her birthday. And on her way back to Portland, where she's in college, things got very mixed up on her flights. It was very confusing. She had purchased insurance, and so she calls and says, "Will you help me write a complaint?" And of course, I'm a grandmother. When a granddaughter asks you to do something, what do you say? You say, "Yes, of course I will." So what I did from that point was to go on the web and look for how to file a complaint if you want to be heard. And the first site that came up under this was an article by the president of JetBlue. That's an airline. And I thought, this has got to be the answer, because I know a lot of people who've had a lot of complaints that have flown with JetBlue. So I began to read his blog and to see what he had to say, and I'm going to use that as we talk about keeping our action going. First of all, he says, find the right person to be the recipient. Find out who's the president of the complaint department. Find out who's the CEO. Send your complaint to the right person. Don't send it just wishy-washy. Make sure it gets to the right person. That's what our widow did in the story we have before us. She goes to the judge. She isn't even allowed in the chambers of the court, so she must have stopped him on his way into court. She doesn't stop at the bailiff. She doesn't go to the secretary. She goes directly to the judge, because that's who can help her. And then the next thing we must do is be short and to the point. No matter how much of a runaround that you've gotten about trying to get on the flight that you were scheduled on, that is not the thing. Don't make it long and drawn out and tell too much of a story. One page is all. Get to the point. And that's what our widow did. She had one sentence. Grant me justice against my opponent. That's all she had. One short piece of paper. Grant me justice against my opponent. And she came back tomorrow and the next day. Grant me justice against my opponent. Grant me justice. She knew what she wanted. She knew the solution. And she continues to ask. I think she must have read the same blog that I read about how to file a complaint. The next thing is to offer a clear solution. I want my money back. The widow knows the solution. She knows the problem. She knows the solution. She says it over and over again. I want justice against my opponent. There is a lack of justice in my situation, and I want that remedy. That is the action that needs to take place. And then the president says, offer a timely frame. If you don't take care of my need within 30 days, I'm going to take it to the Consumer Protection Agency or whatever the next step is. Well, our widow in the story doesn't have that card to play. She has no further action that she can take. But because of her outrage, her determination, her perseverance, she comes back day after day after day after day to demand that she have justice. And then the president of JetBlue says, make sure you add your contact information, phone number, email, all those things. But our widow, she may not even have a permanent address. She may not even have a place that she's able to live because she doesn't have justice. But what she has, again, is her determination, her action, her belief that she's been wronged and there's something that can be done about it. Grant me justice. Grant me justice. There are a lot of people, my sisters and brothers, who need justice granted for them, who need someone who has as much power and determination as the widow in this parable, who gets out their girl power and uses it for the good of all who come. The question is, will we be willing to be the people who will work for justice for those who aren't able to work for it for themselves, who don't have the capability of advocating for justice for their needs, for what they should have? Because we as the people of God, we as God's elect, we are called to be advocates for justice. We are called to have the determination that there is equality among God's people. That is what we are called to be as God's people. So instead of taking our outrage, our disappointment in anything that happens beside justice for God's people, that's where we should put our outrage and our injustice that we see going on. Not about a cowboy game, But take what you're thinking and use that for good for God's people. The kingdom, this woman in the story, this woman knew what her why was. Her why was justice. Justice for herself. Justice. She wants, needs, and is advocating for justice. And she's determined. So the question I have for you this morning, will you advocate for justice? Will you be determined to stay with the work for justice until the second coming of Christ? Will you? You're called. Will you?